It's an enormous privilege to be here. I'm not going to give you a technical talk. I'm going to just tell you a little bit about the operating environment and the opportunity across the continent of Africa, but specifically in Kenya, where I live and work and run a small fintech micro-investment business. I thought best to start off with a global view of Africa by night, and just start off by looking at where the lights are and where the lights are not. And that probably portrays the most powerful image of the opportunity and perhaps of the social mission that awaits us all if we so care. So my name is Wayne Hennessy Barrett. I'm the CEO of Forgely Capital. I'm also very privileged to be on the advisory board of Ethereum. Forgely Capital is a micro-investment company. We provide very small loans, between $50 and $500 for 1 month, specifically to grow businesses. We loan within 24 hours using mobile money only, M-Pesa or Airtel money, completely unsecured, and we only lend to people who are self-employed and trying to raise themselves and their households out of poverty. It's a touch tech model. Relationships are very, very important everywhere, but particularly in Africa. But the technology makes it scalable and makes it standardized and drives quality. We put the customer at the center of everything we do, and we operate a relational model where Stan and Bansi here, for example, who work in our Wangigi branch to the northwest of Nairobi, will look after a portfolio of maybe up to 1,000 customers within their territorial area and ensure that they provide a support network for them so they can grow their business with the means, the credit facility, but also the ways, micro-consulting and business training, which are included as wraparound services for our customer value proposition. So I'm just going to cover a little bit about the context of what we're doing here and how it can apply to there. I'm not going to go over too much old ground. We're all here because we know and we believe and we understand in what Ethereum can do and what the blockchain can do. But if you imagine this world where trust is no longer a prerequisite, where you don't get charged to use a middleman to guarantee that your own data is yours and is secure and your own money goes where it's meant to be, you're looking at some very, very exciting prospects. The story of Africa up until now has been a challenging one. A lot of people instantly think of negative associations, disease, war, conflict, hunger, backwardness. That has indeed been the case to a large degree. In the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, Africa was not a compelling choice as an investment destination. Why is this? For a number of reasons, but people adapt to the rules and to the contexts in which they live. If you were growing up and living in a largely lawless environment, why would you do anything other than cut corners and hustle to try to get the best for yourself and your family? If by paying tax you were in fact just rewarding corruption, when the police are still going to shake you down, or the roads or the infrastructure don't work, then why would you do that? If your support networks are entirely reliant on people from your own tribal group or ethnicity, then you're going to adopt clan-based thinking. And you're going to follow the people who look after you, and you're going to look after the people who follow you. So how do you change this? The solution has to come from the bottom up. The reality is the story is changing and has changed markedly. All the indicators are improving. If you take your lead from the broadcast media, you could be forgiven for needing your shoelaces and belt removed by the end of the day to prevent self-harm. It's just an unremitting diet of bad news. But if you take a more macro view, there is few conflict on the continent. In fact, globally, infant mortality is improving. Education and literacy is improving. The technical revolution and the technology revolution is penetrating faster and further than ever imagined before. So the African century is upon us. People understand this. The Fortune 500s and 100s are now amongst it, and they're investing deeply. McKinsey's are in Nairobi. Every big blue-chip Big Four company is in every major African city, and the opportunities for what we believe in and what we can do are frankly enormous. There are over 1 billion people, all with genuine customer problems. The agricultural sector alone could feed the world. The power opportunities, sustainably through solar and other, geothermal for example, are almost limitless. Together with South America, the continent of Africa is one of Earth's lungs. So forget all the negative connotations. Africa has always been a net contributor to planet Earth. The reality is now that we can maybe do it in a more equitable way. The innovation, the human capital story is on the march. What I really want to bring home to you is the sheer power of the humanity there, of the people who live by values and keep smiling through adversity and displaying a level of resilience which is frankly humbling every day, and I'm thinking of my customers. So if our big dream is Internet 3.0, maybe an even bigger dream is Business 3.0. If Business 1 was feudal barter economies, Dark Ages stuff, Business 2 was Italian, Venetian, Florentian intermediation, the beginning of credit, the beginning of intermediaries and third-party trusted agents, then maybe Business 3 is peer-to-peer operation where you own your own data, you own your own money, and actually you have the right to put it exactly where you want it to go, rewarding genuine value creation and letting history judge those who aren't quite there. Just an idea of scale. It's big. It's really big. You can fit all of China into the landmass of Africa. You can fit East and West Europe. You can fit Japan. You can fit India. You can even put plucky little Britain onto Madagascar over there in the corner. Okay, it is colossal. There is no such thing as Africa. It is as diverse a place as any in the world, between East and West, North and South, Anglophonic, Francophonic, Bantu. There are so many different subcultures, individual environments, contextual analyses that need to be done, but there are universal customer requirements that are there crying out to be solved. So there is a clear need now to service the need of these billion-odd people to establish scalable, reliable, sustainable things, which is the power of what we can do. So mobile money, a little bit on that. I mentioned that we do everything on M-Pesa. If you're not familiar with M-Pesa, I'm afraid you're about 9 years late. It's basically money by SMS, okay? It's run by Safaricom. They developed the system with a DFID grant. It is now emulated by a number of other telco companies, and it is on the march in Africa. It is secure, it's transparent, it's instantaneous, and it transforms low-level cash transactions by removing the need for physical cash, which of course is vulnerable to corruption, to theft, and to all the other issues as well as the accounting and the handling. Kenya is the leading country in terms of mobile money adoption anywhere in the world. People pay each other by zapping SMSs to one another on their phone. We lend to our wonderful customers from mobile tablets in the field directly to their phones within 24 hours. They repay us by zapping it back on a paybill number. Our system instantly notices it, and we're able to pick it up. So imagine you're operating a world where you don't need trust. Imagine you're operating a place where you can see exactly where things are going, and you can set up a business using a distributed application that you can access from the Serengeti or indeed anywhere else. And you can put your knowledge-based value anywhere in the world. This is even before we get onto Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies. This is just using fiat currencies. So a practical example. We are a fintech microinvestment. We've got a great core banking system, proprietorial, cloud-based. It begins in the field where I'll ask you if you want a loan. I'll credit score you based on your personal economics. I'll geotag you, take your picture. That fires through to somebody else who makes sure everything happens correctly. The money gets to you instantly after we've done our due diligence. You repay it, you get a follow-on loan. It's great, it's wonderful, we love it. We're raising now to scale across the rest of Africa. If there's any investment interest, please find me afterwards, but it's a very, very exciting space. But we want to do more. Our problem is, like any credit industry, is that we need to feed the machine. We're constantly raising in order to on-lend, to scale, to increase our financial inclusion footprint. That normally involves private equity rounds and all the rest of it. With an Ethereum architecture, we could potentially take donations, debt financing, equity options from anywhere in the world, and on-lend that directly to our customers. Investors can see exactly where every dollar goes, specifically to point of use and back again. That's very valuable and that's very exciting. We can collaborate within a wider ecosystem where with people like Augur, we can do more accurate credit-based risk scoring based on the reputations people build. We can help with individuals creating their own reputations through the conduct of their businesses and give a much fairer kind of dynamic to their lives. Within this ecosystem, there are all these other applications who have spoken here or will speak later who can do enormous things in Africa. And aside from doing our own thing, we do our best to be the Ethereum champion, certainly in Nairobi and across Africa also, a little bit more of that later. But the possibilities, as we know, are virtually limitless. But for the people actually there now who are learning about Ethereum, they're the people who unlock solutions for their own communities. So how do we make it happen? Well, last week, I'm delighted to say that we sponsored the first Nairobi Ethereum meetup, which was a magnificent success. It was a lot of fun. That's Andrew Kibe, my CTO, taking the Moringa Coding School in Nairobi through the initial startup. Within 2 hours, these guys had downloaded the GitHub and they had started building their own smart contracts. Tech investors, take note. Coders run on muffins. No muffins, no code. Never underestimate the power of the muffin. So watch out, Pied Piper, because Nairobi's on the march. What else can we do? Keep promoting, keep talking, keep connecting, keep promoting the ecosystem. Maximize the uptake. This is our own effort at getting onto the Ethereum project. We're working on it. Make the business case drive the technology. Let the technology unlock the opportunities for the business cases. And keep connecting people. Okay, everything that we do is about people, all right? The technology connects people and it connects ideas, all right? So keep communicating. When we reach out to you, please answer up. Help us along the way. We'll do the same if there's anything we can do to help people understand or enter Africa in any way, all right? And let us all work together to do this. That's my magnificent COO, Fatma, and one of our wonderful branch managers, Edith and Machakos, all right? It's a very, very exciting space that we're in. So please, by all means, all questions welcome. I fly back to Nairobi Monday morning. Contact details freely available. Thank you very much.